Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning as we have gathered together to worship our God. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. That's where the lesson will be taken from this morning as we engage in looking at what God reveals in that to help us to be better servants of His. This week, Deb and I have the good fortune of celebrating our anniversary. So we're looking forward to that and going on our honeymoon. Because if you ask me how long it was, I'll tell you it seems like yesterday. That's my mindset, and I'm sticking to it. So I appreciate all of you and all the things that you do and the prayers that you have offered up on our behalf. And we encourage you to continue to study along, and if you have any questions in regards to the lesson, certainly we'll appreciate getting with you and discussing these matters, because we do believe that they are important, and we endeavor to teach His will so that we'll be pleasing in His sight. We have begun our theme this year has been "Let us arise and build." And we have seen that as taken from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, where the people rose up to build as they had heard the good fortunes of God being with them, especially by Nehemiah, and they are encouraged. And what we are encouraged to do is follow the example of our Lord, as we even look there in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19, where Jesus and the disciples were together as around Caesarea, and there He asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they started giving a list of them. And then Peter answered by saying in verse 17, verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And He says, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And what He was pointing was this gigantic boulder or rock that was there. And Jesus says, "I'm going to build my church upon that confession that Peter made in regards to him being the Christ, the Son of the living God." And He even points out that death would not stop that from happening. And so we see this taking place with Jesus. And I want to continue our lessons and thoughts concerning this title, "The Church That Jesus Built." And we had looked at some of these things from previous lessons, and we learned that the church that Jesus built is called the Kingdom of God. And it is in that description the emphasis is placed on the rule and reign of God as King and Lord. That it is the temple of God. That's what Jesus built. And we learned that the emphasis is placed on the worshipers of the true and living God. And then it's also called a holy nation. And the holy nation concept, the emphasis is placed on our purpose, that is to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us, and also this moral conduct that we are to have. And so that's what this holy nation emphasizes in describing the church that Jesus built. It is called the house of God, as we have seen here, and that concept conveys family, the family concept, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And then that term, the body of Christ, describing the church that Jesus built, and there we see the emphasis being placed on the functioning of God's people, that we are alive, that we are obedient to the head. As the head gives instructions, we follow those instructions, and therefore we are pleasing to the Lord. This is the church that Jesus is talking about there in Matthew chapter 16. And there's a host of other things. As we have been looking at this concept, it's sort of like the idea or concept of a quarter. There's many facets to a quarter if you didn't think about that. Remember, the quarter, you know, there is the color of it, silver. And that's one aspect. And you can talk a little bit about the quarter in reference to the silver of it. And then there is the date that's on the quarter. You could talk about the date when it was minted and so forth. And then there is the shape of it. It is round. As we can talk, that's the facet. Well, that's what's going on here in the Scriptures. The many facets of this church that Jesus built. And so this morning I'd like to bring our attention to the passages that Brother Stan read to us this morning, looking at those verses to help us to understand another aspect of the church that Jesus built. And in those passages, it is some interesting things that are found. And I'll tell you, I kind of go back and forth in one of the concepts, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on in the lesson. And I then turned around. Oh, there's a connection that's there. And this connection was also conveyed to the Hebrew Christians to help them to focus on doing and continuing in their faith in God. And so in those verses, remember what he's pointing out to them. He says, "For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, to a blazing fire and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, the sound of words which sounds was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them because of how loud it was." Penetrating the ears of how loud the trumpet sounds were. And we talked a little bit about that from the book of Exodus there in chapter 19 in our last discussion in reference to Mount Sinai and this awesome event that took place where God descends on the mountain, the billow of smoke, fire, the loud trumpet. And so what he's pointing out to them is that they have come to a different mountain, not the mountain like Sinai. And that's what he wants to convey to them, because remember, the Hebrew Christians are struggling with this. They might have been reflecting back on those events there in Exodus 19 at Mount Sinai. And says, why haven't that kind of event taken place since we have obeyed the gospel of Christ? That we're now under this new covenant. How come we don't have that kind of impact? In fact, when you look back at Exodus 19, that is more impactful. And so, well, we'll go back. That could be one of the reasons why they're thinking this, as well as many other reasons. And the writer is trying to encourage them that you have come to a spiritual mountain. You see, with Mount Sinai, that was tangible. You could touch it. But even though, remember, God did not give them permission to touch. And if they did, they would die. Because that's something that was tangible. He's trying to get them to see in this contrast of Mount Sinai with Mount Zion. You can't touch it. It's spiritual. But you have come to it, though. In other words, you have approached God under this new covenant in Christ Jesus. You have come before God in Mount Zion. And so in using that contrast to help them to understand, back there in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 7, and also in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 7, Mount Zion was that stronghold that David captured. And now, it was called the City of David. And then eventually, as we had seen with Jerusalem being built, this was the place that God had chosen and designated. And so what Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, is trying to get them to see, that they have come to this spiritual mountain, this mountain that cannot be touched, but you have approached God because of the Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, it talks about Christ creating all things, things visible and things invisible. In the spiritual realm, they were created by Him and for Him, as Paul writes to the Colossian brethren. So this is all because of the Christ, that you have come to Mount Zion. Stay with Him. Follow Him. Stay connected to what He has conveyed to the truth. That He is the high priest, as the book of Hebrews has covered and as was studied in our Bible classes. And then He says, not only have you come to this mountain or Mount Zion, you've also come to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and so forth. But not only that have they come to that, as verse 22, go back to verse 22 there, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. What He has done earlier is contrast Mount Sinai with Mount Zion. And now He's contrasting the physical Jerusalem with the spiritual or the heavenly Jerusalem. That they have come before God in Christ Jesus to Mount Zion. And they are connected to Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem, that they are the people of God. Especially when you look back in the history of all these things and what we see in reference to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place, as 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 36 tells us, where God designated as His. The city of God, where His name was. And that was the physical Jerusalem. But the writer in Hebrews is trying to encourage the Hebrew Christians that they have come to Jerusalem. But it's the spiritual one. The heavenly one. And if you leave Christ, you'll be leaving Jerusalem. You'll be leaving God. You will not fulfill the purpose that God intended for you. And as you begin to think about all of this, in the contrast of the mountain and now the contrast of the cities, and I did a search in regards to some of the most populated cities in the United States. And New York is at the top here in 2020. There 8.8 million people. If a migration hasn't happened because of all the things that are going on in our society today, that's a lot of people. But the thing about this heavenly Jerusalem, there's room for all. There's room for more. It's far larger than the 8.8 million of New York City. Beijing may be the most populated city with about 16 million. But still, there's room for more when it comes to the heavenly and spiritual Jerusalem. And another thing about cities, and especially those cities in those particular states and so forth, that in order to access the benefits of those cities, sure, if you're a tourist, you come through, you get to see, they charge you higher prices. But if you are or have a residence there, this is the state that you live in, this is the city where you live, then you have access to the benefits that are there. You have access to the facilities. I know here in the Cincinnati area, in certain locations, for example, if you want to rent the park out, or have an activity at a park, the first thing that they ask you, are you a resident in this area? And if you're not a resident, you don't have access to the benefits of the park. Or if you do, you pay a higher price than someone who is a resident there. Or you get in line, and if someone from the residence wants it on the day that you want it, they get first dibs, or they take first precedence. So when it comes to this heavenly and spiritual Jerusalem, that the writer is speaking of, you're going to have to remain or be a part of it in order to enjoy the benefits. And so the church that Jesus built is a church that has been brought to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is what Jesus is building or built. And all of us can partake of this, as the Hebrew writer is trying to encourage the Hebrew Christians that they are part of it as they remain faithful to the covenant. In fact, when you go back to Old Testament passages, in Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25, Isaiah speaks of God creating this city, this new Jerusalem. All of these things that are involved with the spiritual or the heavenly Jerusalem. In Isaiah 65, I want you to notice how Isaiah words this, and notice the benefits that are expressed in these passages. And I think they're very encouraging for us, as they should have been encouraging for the Hebrew Christians there from Hebrews 12. Chapter 65, look at verse 17, where he says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create." Now, I want you to notice the following points that he makes here from the New American Standard that I'm reading from. "For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, and her people for gladness." So what God is going to create is in Jerusalem rejoicing, and for the people gladness. These are individuals that are connected to Jerusalem. And this was all brought about in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then verse 19, "I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them, and they will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And they will not build another inhabitant, but they will not plant another and another eat. For as the lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will wear out the work of their hands, and they will not labor in vain." I want you to notice the benefits that are there in this Jerusalem that God says He creates. The rejoicing, the life that is given. And then in verse 24, "It will come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." And then he talks about the condition, the nature of this city. "The wolf and the lamb will graze together." There's the peace that will exist in this heavenly Jerusalem. So it's a call for the people here in from Isaiah 65 to rejoice. And it was an encouragement to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 12 to rejoice in this heavenly Jerusalem that they have been brought to, the city of God. Because of all the blessings and the privileges that are provided them in this heavenly city, in this relationship with God. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, Paul talking about the allegory between Mount Sinai and Hagar representing that, who was a slave. But he talks about Jerusalem, and he mentions there in verse 26 that the Jerusalem above is free. And he says, which is our mother. There's the relationship. The spiritual Jerusalem. We're free. So there's freedom in this heavenly Jerusalem. And what Jesus is pointing out, what the lesson is pointing out here this morning concerning the church that Jesus built, he has built a people that are free. Free from sin. Free from the burdens of what sin provides or gives to those who follow it. Instead, they have liberty in Christ Jesus. They can now rejoice because of what God has provided. They can have confidence in the protection that God will give. Remember in Isaiah 65, before they even call, I will answer. That's assurance. That's encouragement. And the Hebrew Christians are about to give this up. And he says, no, don't do that. No. Look at all the blessing. Look at the life that is provided. So what we're learning in reference to the church that Jesus built is this church that is of the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We are recognized as his people. And so the encouragement, all is not lost. There is much that you have gained by remaining faithful to Christ. Here's something else. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 19, where Paul writes to the brethren at Ephesus, and he points this out to them concerning these things. Remember in verse 13, we have been brought near, as he says in reference to the Gentiles who were far off, been brought near by the blood of Christ. But then in verse 19, he talks about being citizens of the commonwealth. And being citizens of the commonwealth, there are the benefits, there are the privileges that are there. I believe, in connection to being citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. In other words, we have made our residence there. We have established ourselves in Christ Jesus in connection to this heavenly Jerusalem. And the benefits, the privileges that we have, I believe Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 explains that and helps us to understand what the privileges are, especially the one that is most important. It's not about the monetary things. And sometimes we can get caught up in the monetary things, but it's about the spiritual thing. And what's the spiritual? The benefit that it says that our bodies will be transformed to the conformity with the body of his glory. That is what it's about. And that's what we see here in Hebrews chapter 12. That's the encouragement to them. Remain faithful. So that you can obtain this transformed body to the conformity of the body of his glory. That's the most important. And really, another way of saying that is the salvation of your soul. That's a simpler way to say that. The salvation of your soul. That you now have put off mortality, and now you have taken on immortality. Being able to conquer death and be with God throughout eternity. And we're going to see that even come to fruition as we start to see more about this concept that's being conveyed concerning the church that Jesus built. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 12, with the church at Philadelphia, notice there in verse 12 a privilege, a benefit. as they remain faithful. And if they're doing things that are wrong, if they repent or change and turn back to God and follow His will, they're going to be pillars, as he points out. And the name of God and the name of His city is going to be put on them, the New Jerusalem. They're going to be identified as the people of God. That's the point of Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. That's the blessings of those who have an ear who hear, as he brings that to their attention. And then when you get to chapter 21, and then you see verse 12, you see verses 1 through 4. In verses 1 through 4 of 21 of Revelation, you have people who are glorified or purified in those verses, coming down from heaven. That's the picture, that's the image that's being imprinted on their minds, those who would be suffering for the cause of Christ under tremendous persecution. And as John sees this vision, he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." We're going to talk about that a little bit later on, future lesson. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them.'" Notice what the Hebrew writer had said in chapter 12. You have approached, you have come before God, Mount Zion. And that's the image. That's the point that he is trying to drive home in their mind. And it's the point that should be driven home in our hearts and our minds about the heavenly Jerusalem. That if we're thinking about quitting, think about all the privileges and the blessings that we will lose out. If we're thinking about following our own way instead of following the authority of God, we're going to miss out on the blessings and the privileges that God has provided. That's what the Hebrew Christians were about to do. They were about to go their way. They're about to leave the authority of Christ, this new covenant that they had, that they were under, to go back to the old covenant. And the Hebrew writer's trying to get them to see that if you go back there, you're going to be violating the principles that God has given of what God has created in His Son. Just pushing them back. And in verses 9 through 21, what you see is a people that is connected to the city. They're connected. If you have residence in the city, you're connected to the city. If you have obeyed the gospel of Christ and you're in Christ Jesus, you are a part, or your citizenship is in heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem. You're identified as God's people. Because who occupied Jerusalem? When the folks were faithful to the Lord, they occupied it. They were known as God's people. And there were situations after situations as these kings who were righteous and did righteous things in the sight of God, that when they got into trouble, when their enemies outnumbered them, God delivered them. Why? Because they were His people. And through them, He was displaying through the world that you need to submit to the God that Israel is connected to. And today, the encouragement is to connect ourselves to Christ Jesus, who created all things, and all things were by Him and for Him. And as you are in Christ, you have been brought to God. Because in verses 22 through 25 of Revelation, you have this fellowship of God and His people. That's the picture to encourage those Christians. And it should be an encouragement for us as God's people today. Remain faithful. Hang in there. I know the world is throwing all kinds of things at you. Yeah. At us. That's what it's doing. Satan is using those fiery darts to cause us to fall away from the true and living God and to miss out on the city of the living God, this heavenly Jerusalem. But the encouragement is to remain steadfast. Because you are before God. God sees you. He knows you. You're connected to Him. Why? Because you are in Christ Jesus. You are of this church that Jesus has built. You're connected to, as the Hebrew writer talks about, myriads of angels. You're connected to them. The heavenly host. They outnumber. Doesn't matter how many enemies we may have here and now. The heavenly host outnumbers that. If all the world was against us, just us, understand that the myriads of angels, the heavenly host, outnumbers them. It outnumbers the whole world. And so these Hebrew Christians should learn from the lesson that's being taught to them. And so should you and I today learn that very valuable lesson. That as we are in Christ Jesus, we have access to tremendous blessings. We have access to it. Why? Because we are before God. We've approached Him. We have been brought near by the blood of Christ. As Paul pointed out to the brethren at Ephesus, you're brought near by the blood of Christ. When we obey the gospel, we're brought in the presence of God, who is our light, who is our sun. As you look back there in Revelation 21, in that fellowship, in this relationship, God is the architect of this. He created it. And we should rejoice in what God has done. The Hebrew Christian should be rejoicing in what God has built, what God has made. They shouldn't have been discouraged. Neither should you and I be discouraged. I know there are, trying times do come, and it causes, sometimes we miss it. And that's why we have, remember with the church that Jesus built, this household of God, we encourage each other. Why? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we are reminded of these things. And when we sing praises to God, when we pray for one another, we remember what Christ has done for us in the memorial that we have done, recalling the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And so it helps to remove the discouragement. Because of the fellowship that we have with God. The fellowship that we have with one another through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The freedom that God has provided. Removing the guilt. When we do things God's way, it removes the guilt. And there's no shame. It is nothing but boldness and confidence moving forward in serving God. We're fellow citizens, having access to the blessings, the privileges that God has provided. And the main blessing is the transformation of our humble bodies into the glorious body of Christ Jesus. That's enough to put a smile on your face. That's enough to overcome the discouragement. That's enough to stand out in the streets and be encouraged and telling people that even though in the really the hub and all of the lack of and the scrambling that's going on in our society, that we have access to a God who will provide for His children. That is what this is all about. If you will, pray with me. Our merciful God and Father, we thank You for what You have done for us. We thank You for what You have provided. Give us the courage, the strength, and the mindset to rejoice in the things that You have done, the things that You've created. And help us to look forward to this uninhibited fellowship that we'll have with You. The transformation of our lowly or humble bodies into Your glorious body. Thank You for that hope. Help us, Lord, to live courageously in a perverted world, but to give You thanks when we see Your hand moving, and be encouraged to follow You wherever You lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, one of the things that when you look back at the Revelation 21, the heavenly Jerusalem that it talks about, the walls are high, the walls are deep. You can't force your way into it. The only way that you can get into this holy city and be a part of it is by faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. Doing His will. Removing the sin that is in our lives. And the only way that we can do that is by putting our faith in the God who created us and who provided Christ Jesus, our Lord. Put our faith in Him. Trust Him. Believe Him. Follow Him. Repent of our sins. Turn from sin and turn to God. And that's what you see in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Those folks were told to do that. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, to confess Him as Lord. Now you can see why. The church that Jesus built is called a kingdom because He's Lord. He's the ruler. He's the master we should follow. And then we have to be buried with Him in baptism, where our sins are washed away. And when we do that, we enter the heavenly, the spiritual, and we become connected to it. We become of God's people because of the salvation that's provided, because we've been born again, because we're of the family of God, we're of the people of God, we are Christians, we're becoming more and more like the Christ. And as we continue to live faithfully, we're going to be with Him throughout eternity. The body will be transformed as God has promised to those who are faithful to Him. And so, my friend, if you want to become a part of God's kingdom, if you want to become a part of this heavenly Jerusalem, now's the time. If you haven't done this, you're not a part of it. But as people, as a people of God, we encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. We're here to help. We're here to assist. This is what it's about. That's why we preach the truth, because as we preach the Word of God, it's going to help us to obtain the blessings that God has provided and what God has created in Christ, being a part of this heavenly Jerusalem. And so if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song.